Expatriation, the United States' True and Ugly History of Ethnic Cleansing on today's Native Latin and Black Lost History Show.
Nobody really want fuego. Masayo will bring fire downwards in Waco. Why you some coffee and Lego? Your egos, your sandwich with mayo and two slices of mato. Sitting at home on the couch playing Halo, but the Masayo ain't playing no wagos. Games, women and pants gonna get it. Flames, brothers keeping no commandments. Same, calling our armies a favor. Event with your NATO and soldiers with Dracos. Just tell me, how can you stop a tornado or better yet the lava from the volcano? They really can't, bro. They have to pay, bro. The most I say so. So in chase they go for all the wicked atrocities they owe. For all their wicked atrocities they owe. From San Diego to Trinidad Tobago, I'm spitting these words so our Israelites they know. Keeping commandments the only way we grow, so we can defeat the nation Galileo. Nation Galileo, get it? Cause they pale. He's bringing them hell for every bill of sale. So family, just examine yourself. When that fuego come, you don't wanna get left. Forsake your sins so you complete the test. Then you can have complete rest from all your stress. Fight to do right to your very last breath, or stay wicked and receive second death. Destruction of enemies is muy bueno. Make sure that's one of the things that you pray for. Into the kingdom, the sinners, they can't go. The sinners can't go. So we say, hasta luego, hasta luego.
Brothers really don't want fuego. Sisters really don't want fuego. Nobody really want fuego. From the one that's super dead.
Turn it.
Fuegos really don't want fuego.
Turn it.
Fuegos really don't want fuego.
Turn it.
Nobody really want fuego.
Hey,
from the one that's super dead.
Fuego.
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 Brother, you don't want that fuego.
Hey.
Fuego. Fuego.
Nah,
sister, you don't want that fuego.
Nah,
fuego.
Nobody
really want fuego.
Shabbat shalom. Welcome to the Native Latin and Black Lost History Show. I'm Captain Yahshua.
Shabbat shalom, Captain Aparian.
Shalom, Most High and Christ Blessed, Captain Amariah.
Shalom, Soldier Hezekiah.
All praise to the Most High and Christ for giving us another Sabbath. We are here. We've been kind of moving on. I don't know. I told you that John Leguizamo special got me thinking, researching more. I've been taking a little bit of a different approach, like I had mentioned about the how to eat an elephant. You don't eat elephants. They're unlawful.
Don't.
All right. But how do you eat a whole bison? Let me put it that way. Right, bit by bit. And what I've done over the years is I've acquired different books. You know, I'll see a book and I'll snatch it up because I know they take these things out of publication and. You know, partly because clearly they're trying to hide stuff, partly because so many of our people are in that great war of ignorance, like it says in Wisdom of Solomon, that they don't support literature like that,
right.
Like historical books like that. So they don't sell well, so they don't republish them. And then they become these rare pieces that you get, right? So, you know, over the years, I don't have like a massive collection, but I got some pretty decent books, and have yet ever really to kind of dive into them. And it's always because I look at how daunting it is to be able to say, okay, I got to read this whole book. And if I'm reading this whole book, you know what? I should be giving equally as much time to actually just reading the scriptures, and then of course everything else that falls into play. But you know, lately I've just been saying, listen, I can go little by little on these things or whatever. Now, today I'm not going to pair this with any books because I actually found so many articles on it, and I think it'll be such an interesting talking point. What I didn't mention in the show's description is that the significance of what we're going to talk about today is so that you can see the same type of attitude and mindset is being permeated and put out there today in the propaganda of, you know, the current administration and everything like that. And if it happened before, and I'm not talking about hundreds of years ago, I'm talking about less than 100 years ago, it can happen again. And it started with the same vibrations and stuff that you see now. And, you know, what's really been lifting my spirit with bringing this stuff out is that it's that reinforcement. That, yo, be quiet. Those of you who are talking about Lord King Wayne Israel. It's just too much to identify with for you to sit there and say because of a complexion, because of Esau series of landmass, right? The Siberian landmass, and the crossing, that we're not in your DNA shows this, DNA shows that. Listen, be quiet. All right. Scripture says the curses will be a sign.
All right.
And upon your seed forever, and they will pursue the old meal. And we're still living the living curses today. So I'm going to go ahead and post some links if you guys want to give some comments or before we jump into it.
Yeah, we'll kind of go over there.
Yeah, those DNA tests and all that stuff. That's another strategy and another tactic in the war against the truth coming out. Because they know people are cute, right? But not only that, they know we're cute, right? Because we don't fit in anywhere. Right? We understand that we started the Northern Kingdom in 1492.
Caucasian, a man who the biblical name is Esau. Okay, go ahead.
So that their hands cannot perform their enterprise.
So that they cannot perform their enterprise. So the Most High God is the puppet master. We say this time and time again. He's controlling everything. All right. He allowed them to go ahead and come up high above us, as it was prophesied in the curses in Deuteronomy 28. So that we can go ahead and wake up in the end, come back into our rightful place of rulership. They're just there as a vessel, as a device to keep to punish us. But as the awakening has started, okay, all of that is going to be broken down. Remember, Isaiah 46 and 10, declaring the end from the beginning. He already had all of this planned. This Bible was written already before in his mind, before it was even on paper.
Give me 1 Kings 8, verse 46, just going back into what Captain Yahshua had said in the very beginning about those that don't subscribe to the Northern Kingdom as actually being the 10 tribes of Israel, shut up, because there's just too much historical proof that correlates with the scriptures that they are indeed Israel. 1 Kings 8, verse 46.
The book of 1 Kings 8, verse 46. If they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them unto the enemy, so that they carry them away captives unto the land of the enemies, far or near.
So this is the prophecy that's written in here in 1 Kings, that all of Israel has gone into sin, and because of that, the Lord put the curses that are in Deuteronomy 28 against us. But read verse 47. This is the point.
Verse 47. Yet if they shall bethink themselves.
That's the point. Yet if we shall bethink ourselves, mm-hmm. meaning what? Come into remembrance that we are the Israelites, that we are the children of the one true God, that we're given God's laws as an heritage, and that we were commanded to keep them in the faith of Christ. This is the part right here. This is why people don't subscribe to Northern Kingdom being so-called Hispanics and Native Americans, because this is what you said in Psalms 83, is the crafty counsel. They don't want us to bethink ourselves.
Right.
They've taken these things, these history books, and they've, I don't want to say hidden them, but because it's there for us to.
Right, they're there. You just don't know. You're looking in the
right,
wrong
exactly,
sections in the
exactly.
books in the libraries.
They've given us the illusion of inclusion, and they've given us fake family crests to hang on our walls and everything else, so that way we don't do just this and do what God commands us, and that's to bethink ourselves as Israel, because you can't repent as anything other than an Israelite from your respective tribe. And you know what? I was saying on class the day I was teaching, we can't be mad at the devil for being the devil. He's just right. being the devil. Like that's just his job.
Right.
It's up to us to come research these things to do exactly what God has commanded.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Because we bring that out, right? And again, man, this ain't definitely not a hate campaign. Trust me. But we're way beyond that nonsense. All
right. Right.
At the end of the day, we are worse enemies.
Yes, sir.
We are worse enemies. All right. So let's keep it real. As you can see, just the information that we're bringing out now,
mm-hmm.
they were just put there. When you read Romans 9, it says they were put there as a vessel.
No, right. Yeah.
For destruction.
Right.
Just some housekeeping. Caller number is 516. I forgot it. 531-9797. 516-531-9797. If you have questions or comments, all right. Be patient when you're on the line. If we're in the middle of a thought or something, we will finish that before we address the phone lines. If you're trying to get more understanding, you'd like to learn more about Israel United in Christ and what it takes to repent and obtain salvation, you can go to IsraelUnite.org. That's www.IsraelUnite.org.
There it is.
And also, if you're interested in getting any Israelite apparel, Bibles, literature, artwork, music, you name it, you can go to OriginalRoyalty.com. It is closed on the Sabbath and High Holy Days, so you can't go today.
But it will be open tonight.
It will be open
at
tonight.
Even.
At evening.
Right, when the day
tonight
ends.
Tonight at evening.
Right.
When the Sabbath ends.
It's right. 24-hour Sabbath.
24-hour. Wait. I have it. Wait. I could do that one. Wait. Ah, I'm off on the timing. Wait, here we go. Wait. Oh, I'm all late. Quick, do it again.
Which one?
Wait.
Bomb. Boom shalaka laka.
Oh man. Yo, I gotta get better with this sound. Yo, we gotta upgrade the show, man. I was telling them Ryan when we came in here. I said, look, we got cables on the floor here. We got there's things I wanted to show today, like clips. So there's a clip I'm gonna reference and stuff like that, and I don't even know how to begin to do that, like on this stuff without the proper means to do it. So Hey, I had to ask if the sound, if y'all could let me know, is the sound good? I'm assuming yes, nobody's complaining. If y'all could just confirm. All right, I know we were having some stability issues. Last week I was mad, bro, because I was going in on that, the Indian Removal Act. And we had Captain Isaac here, which I always like to have him. He's into that history stuff, too, mm-hmm. as well. And the freaking Facebook broadcast was messing up. It kept, like, cutting off. So they defeated me. I gave up. I stopped trying to get back online, and I just left it on Blog Talk. Because, bro, it was like four times, man, that I was trying to get online.
Listen, one battle lost, but at the end we're going
to
win the
war.
Hey,
but no, you know what? It's not lost because we got it on Blog Talk. So, right, I know people like to see us in the studio, but you can listen to it. Very edifying information on our Native American brothers and sisters, all right? So, repatriation. So, like I said, I was watching this thing with John Leguizamo, my Ephraim, my brother, all right? And he's Ephraim. His mom's Asher. His pops was Ephraim. And I had mentioned before on other shows, you know, like when I used to be into all that, you know, carnal stuff, like acting and all that other stuff, I used to like emulate him and like perform his shows and stuff. So I'm a fan of his. So whenever I see anything of him, and I noticed in later years, he's been getting more deep with what he's bringing out.
Yeah,
he's good.
Like it's not like it was. I mean, you look at his first thing, Mambo Mouth, which is hilarious. I mean, it's such a characterization of our people.
Mm-hmm. He's a one man show.
He's a one man show. Yeah. I mean, it's incredible. It's funny. And a part of him will tell you, like, they always used to be like, yo, do Mambo Mouth, do Mambo Mouth. Like, that was my thing. I guess because, I don't know, I mean, I was probably the same height, just smaller.
Yeah.
Like, slimmer. And they would be like, hey, do the Mambo Mouth, do the Leguizamo. That and Bill Cosby, they used to have me imitate.
Yeah, those who don't know who John Leguizamo is, look it up.
Yeah, look up John Leguizamo. You know, and so he's been getting like more serious with his shows. He still throws a little element of humor into it,
sure.
But he's using his platform to try to convey a certain message, right? Mm-hmm. And like we mentioned, Captain Abiel some years ago ran into him and gave him a flyer.
Mm-hmm. And so he was receptive, took a picture with him.
He was receptive to it, took a picture.
Yeah.
He is married to Amalek, his second wife. His first wife was Northern Kingdom, mm-hmm. and she drove him away, just like the Israelite woman, right? Mm-hmm. The unrepented.
The unrepented.
Israelite woman.
Was that I repented? They got it.
They're
always bashing the woman.
The unrepented Israelite woman. So he went and he married an Amalekite. He's married to some Edomite.
Right, because what happens? Our people feel like, all right, well, our people ain't no good, so I'm going to marry the heathen.
Right.
Yeah. No, it's true, because back in the world, when I was married to a heathen, I thought I was winning in life.
Yeah, you thought you were ahead of the game. Right? You were like looking at all your people. Like,
I said, hashtag winning.
Right.
So I firmly believe that he was inspired to some extent by this. But it's hard because he's married to Edom, and, you know, it's a little tough for him. And he started doing some research. And long story short, he goes into trying to show you know, Latin history. And like I said, the timing of when I wanted to bring out American Holocaust, when I started doing that and then the show, got me thinking. And I do want to go back and look at some books. But anyway, he starts talking about how, and you know, he was looking for more modern times of things. And he said, you know, in recent times, there was a Repatriation Act where mm-hmm. you know, even after liberation from slavery, even after all this stuff, you know, there was some mass deportations. He goes, listen, people forget, you know, there were signs where, you know, no Mexicans were allowed, you know, no dogs, no Negroes, no Mexicans. You know, I mean, we have that on the show page, I think, that sign. Mm-hmm. So I started looking at it. Right. And it's funny, if you just go and you type in Repatriation Act, you're going to see something they passed in the 90s where they were trying to I had saw something where they're trying to give Grant Gad like American citizenship, and the irony.
Right.
That they're going to grant them American citizenship. Let me not even go there, but and try to, I don't know. You know what? I got to look it up now because I got to give the right information. But that's that's an interesting one to look at, but that's not the one we're going to talk about today.
It's very difficult to watch John Leguizamo's newest show on Netflix and not think that there's some kind of research as far as the truth is concerned behind what he's bringing out. it's very hard to just watch that blindly and say, okay, he just one day woke up and wanted to just research something.
Bo, he referenced books.
I know.
He used books on his show.
That's why I have to believe that it had to be that flyer that that Captain Abio gave him.
Oh, yeah. I think so.
It had to be. But because the scripture says that the cares of this world and then the lust for other things, it's difficult for him to just cut everything off because he does have that platform and that monetary game coming in. But, bro, like the stuff he brings out is so good.
Right, because he expresses himself on the show that he's experienced racism. He talks about his son was experiencing racism
actually,
in the school.
His show prior to that, he spoke about it too.
And
the
show
about the
prior
industry,
to that as
he
well.
He was talking about his
life.
Because the show he put out prior to that, he went in on like what his career was like and how all that stuff went down.
Hey, because by all rights, right, according to Hollywood standard, he shouldn't even be a star.
No. First of all, he doesn't have a lot of range as an actor.
No.
Right.
No.
Right, which was my problem. I couldn't do the Anglo-Saxon, you know, I still can't do it too well. Apparently, I have a very thick New York accent.
I
don't hear it.
I mean, he was good as Tybalt in Romeo and Juliet, though.
I mean, but that was a modern, I love that modern take of Romeo and Juliet. But that was a modern take on it. But by all accounts, he shouldn't have had the success he had.
Right.
He did kind of, he wasn't a leading man, but in a supporting role capacity. He broke kind of stereotypes, like he started to break out of stereotypical roles.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm sure, I mean, he talks about how he could have got a lot of stereotypical roles and made a lot of money.
And we're not selling him short because I think he's great.
Oh, right, right. When I say range, I mean, the guy is talented. What I mean is range as far as, you know, you just being able to, like I said, the accent, the mannerisms.
Mm-hmm.
He's very New York street
in the way he is.
And
he doesn't hide it. It is what it is.
He doesn't hide it, and it is what it is. Mm-hmm. And he found a way to kind of, I'm going to be this and still be able to take some roles.
That's my point.
That's not that.
That's
you
my
know
point.
What I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
he's been in a lot of movies.
He has. And that's what I'm saying. And they have not been the stereotypical, let me just play a spick.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right?
That's true.
Right.
That is true. Yeah.
So he's always been kind of connected to that, and he understands the conditions that we live in and what's against us, right? And he knows it. He reminds me of Chappelle in some ways with the stuff he said.
Yeah, he's like a Northern King of Chappelle, yep.
Right?
Yeah.
That's
true.
I mean,
that's
not nearly as funny.
Chappelle
has you know, stitches, but different, but there's parallels, and I see that. But anyway, so he starts mentioning this stuff, right? And so I looked up the Repatriation Act. And there's one that comes up from 1990, and that's interesting because the thing with these laws and these acts, there'll be something that has nothing to do with the law or the act, and they always squeeze it in. Well, we're passing laws anyway. Let's throw that in there. So there's a lot of other stuff that came out of this, but it says the Native American Graves Protection and Repatriation Act. The act requires federal agencies and institutions that receive federal funding to return Native American cultural items to lineal descendants and culturally affiliated Indian tribes and Native Hawaiian organizations. Because historically what's happened is up until this act was in place, and you know, one thing is to put an act, there's another thing to be able to enforce it, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like you get a judgment that, you know, I sue you, we haven't fallen out. I sue you for like $1 million. The judge says you got to pay me that $1 million. I'll probably never see it unless you get rich.
Right.
Right. I mean, you know, they'll garnish your check or whatever, but I'll get like $50 a month or whatever. You know, not to say that you make poor money. I'm just saying,
no, you would get $50 a month,
right? So it's the same type of thing. So don't let these things fool you. Oh, look, they tried to put a good act in place, but what happened was a lot of people. You have all these Native American artifacts, and this is why you started to see things like what was this guy? Is it Beck?
John Beck.
John Beck
from the one I brought out
the thing with the Hebrew stones and everything. Okay,
right.
This is how this stuff like this was starting to come to light. You have all these artifacts that just kind of people were holding on to, concealing, some people holding on to, even down to Native American bones and things like that.
Hey, he said they were in the Smithsonian's buried
right.
in that
show. Oh, the Smithsonian.
Oh, you'll
basement.
Find it on YouTube too.
Hey, I would love to go into the Smithsonian basement.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
You can't even imagine what's down there.
And Indiana Jones, remember at the end of the first one?
That's the warehouse.
And
they
just
stored
put it all
the
way
with
all the other
fodder.
You're right about that.
Mm-hmm. See, we three remember that.
Because right.
we older. Look, you don't even know what the hell we're talking about.
Indiana Jones?
Yes.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah, like the last one.
I'm not talking about the Crystal Skull.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or when his son came out.
Talking about Raiders of the Lost Ark. All right. That thief. I know. Mitchell says he's a thief.
I know,
really
you
is.
I looked at it like that, but that's
he
what
really
it was.
He really is,
man.
All right? He was a hero. But anyway, I digress. So they enacted this because they, you know, there was some stuff. So it says cultural items. I'm not making it up when I say human remains, including human remains, funerary objects, and sacred objects and objects of cultural patrimony. All right. A program of federal grants assists in the repatriation process, and the Secretary of the Interior may assess civil penalties on museums that fail to comply. This is why John Beck was able to get this stuff out of the Smithsonian's basement. Mm-hmm. All right. So you have all this history, all these things sitting. And this is what was so great about what John Beck brought out. And I can't, again, I still to this day, you know, the week happens and I forget. I can't remember the name of the DVD. I'm sure if I call Abiel, he'll know it in a
Ancient
second.
Ancient Lost History.
Something like that. And I have it downloaded somewhere on my computer. We should probably get together and watch it one day. He talks about how you could see that they built pyramidal objects here.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't, you know, because people say, well, where are the pyramids? I mean, there was a concerted effort in iconoclasm to destroy these things, right? It also says that it establishes procedures for the inadvertent discovery of planned excavation of Native American cultural items on federal or tribal lands. So they were planning to start to dig to find more of this stuff. While these provisions do not apply to discoveries or excavations on private or state lands, the collection provisions of the Act may apply to Native American cultural items if they come under the control of an institution that receives federal funding. There's apparently a market for trafficking Native American human remains. So, you know, this thing is supposed to help that. Now, the other piece that they don't mention here is when you deal with the term repatriation. And this one's different, right? So I want to go in and I'm going to read repatriate.
Glenn Beck. It's Glenn Beck. I'm sorry.
Glenn Beck. I know it's a John Beck. I knew it didn't sound right. Glenn Beck.
It's
all right. I forgot him. He faded into obscurity.
Sure
so.
Did.
Yep.
After he brought that out.
After he brought that out.
Well, because Glenn Beck's a Mormon. And the reason he was so excited about that is because Mormons do know that the Native Americans are Israelites.
Right.
So... he was happy to bring that out because he thought he was pushing his doctrine, right? But anyway, so I want to read the definition of repatriate because it sounds like such a nice word, right?
Mm-hmm. I had to look it up when I asked you last night. What's the topic?
Right. So you have to. Did you go like?
Well, that's why I didn't reply right away.
Oh, and that's when you replied and were like,
I didn't want to feel like a liar.
It's okay, man. That happens to me sometimes. I mean, yeah, it'll hit me. Like Deacon Yalsup does that to me a lot. Like his vocabulary is like beyond mine.
I'm just looking at the talk. I searched it. It says Glenn Beck exposes Smithsonian Institute's ancient American cover up.
Yeah, hey, save that. That must be good.
And he shows the Moses Stone. Right.
We're not gonna go there today. But save that. We could use that for another show and go into that a little bit. Because I got books on the Indian American slave trade.
Right.
How about that? Because everybody likes to say, well, Gad had us in slavery. Guess what? America had Gad in slavery.
Right.
There was an Indian slave trade, all right? So I got books on that that I'm going to bring out. Anyway, so repatriate sounds like such a nice word. It says to bring or send back a person, especially a prisoner of war, a refugee, etc., to his or her country or land of citizenship, all right? So repatriate is deportation, but it tells you especially a prisoner of war, or a refugee, etc., things along those veins. We're going to come back to those words, all right? Don't let those words escape you as we read this, all right? This isn't just a simple matter of deportation because my aim today is to try to convey that it is a targeted thing that's happening now with this administration because he's not talking about deporting the Irish, Russians, right. Japanese, Chinese, nothing. The target is Jake.
That's right.
And Northern Kingdom is catching hell, and it's high time because we're going to get to it in Hosea. We have believed that our enemy was for us, and we're not aware of it. And the Most High is putting things and putting things in place for our people to start to really say, okay, I need to turn to something, and the answer is not America.
Right.
Right.
No, I just wanted to say, and by Jake, we're referring to those that are under the false illusion that they are blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans. So for those listening, tuning in, that Jake, what do you mean he's targeting Jake? That's what we're talking about, so-called blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans. That's what Trump is targeting, and that's who all the enemies that fall under Psalms 83 are targeting us as a people.
Right, right. Okay, so that's a definition of repatriation, right? And then I want to look at this. And we're, I mean, I got a bunch of articles, so I'm going to read some stuff. And then if you guys want to bring some scripts, as always, bring them out. I have some that I want to bring out. If I'm going to bring them out, then, you know, I'll jump in there with you. But I want to jump into the article a little bit, right? Hold on, because I'm getting hot. Mm-hmm. I'm turning up the heat.
There it is.
I'm turning up the heat. Oh, and my aim is to also show you, like I said, the significance of what's going on with this caravan. It's the same type of thing that's happening now, all right? And don't think Trump is dumb. He knows this, right? So I got this one article here. It says, the time a president deported 1 million Mexican Americans for supposedly stealing U.S. jobs. And guess when this time was?
1900s?
1931. Wow. Less than 100 years ago.
That's crazy.
So people talk about that was then. You're talking about, right, because we've jumped around a bit, right? We were talking about Montezuma and Las Aztecas, right? And talking about, and that's, you know, hundreds upon hundreds of years ago, mm-hmm. right? And then we were getting a little more modern, talking about the Trail of Tears and whatnot in the 1800s. Mm-hmm. Now we're dealing with something in what would be deemed modern times. I mean, shit, pardon my language, think about it, but even the Civil Rights Movement was damn near like 60 years ago, 70 right. years ago.
Not that far ago.
Was not that long ago. Was not that long ago, right? So, you know, we got to be mindful of that, right? So, it says, on February 26, 1931, a sunny Sunday in Los Angeles, hundreds gathered for an afternoon of relaxation in a Placita Park in the heart of the city's Mexican community. Suddenly, a large group of plainclothes officers armed with guns and batons entered the park. Damn, that sounds like what happened to us up in Bishop's house.
Yep.
Wow. Yep. Two officers were posted at each entrance to La Placita so that no one could leave. Dozens of flatbed trucks circled the park's perimeter. Officers rounded up all the people with brown skin, said Joseph Dunn, a former Democratic state senator from California who researched this forgotten episode of U.S. history. And I'm going to translate for you as you read through the lines. Forgotten means buried. Right. It means they hid it. All right. It's not by accident that they don't talk about these things. The same reason they try not to acknowledge slavery. It's the same reason they acknowledge Confederate war heroes. All right, who were for captivity, who were for the slave trade and all of that. It's the same reason they acknowledge Columbus Day to this day. You would think with everything that's so prevalent today that they would say, damn, we got to just take that thing away
right.
and let's do a Native American Day. And they do it, but it cheapens it because they don't take away the Columbus Day.
Right.
All right. So, it says forgotten U.S. history. It certainly is forgotten because it was intentionally hid. It says panic swept through the crowd. About 400 park patrons were lined up and asked to show proof of legal entry and citizenship of the United States. The Mexican immigrants and Mexican Americans who could not produce proper documentation were detained. Then some were put on the trucks and sent to the city's main railroad station, Dunn said. Once there, they were ordered onto previously chartered trains and taken deep into Mexico. So imagine you're at a park with your family, and maybe not all of them, all right? And you get rounded up. You cannot go collect your belongings.
Right.
Do not pass. Do not stop at go. Wow. Right. And you're gonna get put on a train, and it might not even be where the hell you're from in that country.
Right.
1931. All right. 1931. And it says the raid came at the height of the Great Depression and on the heels of President Herbert Hoover's announcement of a national program of American jobs for real Americans. For real Americans. Code words for getting rid of Mexicans who weren't considered real Americans, said Dunn. That's the illusion of inclusion that our people fall under. We're all Americans. I'm an American. And it goes from, and I like what you said, because Jake, I don't know, some people think Jake just means Southern Kingdom. It just means black people. Jake is all of Israel.
Right.
Because right. Jake was our father, Jacob. All right? That's what it's talking about.
Bring it out.
All right? You got somebody that get confused with that. Okay? It's talking about that we are not considered, you have to understand that sentiment is still here today. We are not mm-hmm. considered real Americans to them. It don't matter if you're third, fourth, fifth generation, because that's the other thing you hear. I'm a fourth generation
Well, that's why they're so quick to say, go back to your country.
Right. Right.
And they say that to not just Southern Kingdom, but to Northern Kingdom as well. They're so quick to tell all of our people, well, go back to your country.
Right. Right. So, real American, look at the sly words. American jobs for real Americans. All right. So, whose staff spent 3 years delving into federal, state, and local records in the United States and Mexico to document this little known tragedy of the Latino experience in the United States. The program, implemented by Hoover's Secretary of Labor, William Doak, included passing local laws forbidding government employment of anyone of Mexican descent. Hmm. He is not talking about just illegal immigrants.
Right, right.
The Constitution provides for being naturally born here makes you a citizen. So makes you a citizen, me, you, right? They do not see that as the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not even going into the deeper irony of that they're not freaking citizens either then,
right, right.
Based on this same policy.
So they're fourth generation, that doesn't matter then?
No, that shit don't matter. All right? So it says, the program implemented by Hoover's Secretary of Labor, William Doak, included passing laws forbidding government employment of anyone of Mexican descent, even legal permanent residents, and U.S. citizens.
Dang.
And U.S. citizens. So mind you, the Constitution allowed for protection supposedly against this, but they still had the authority and power to do it. Don't think that can't happen today.
Mm-hmm.
This is why he eliminated the DACA. This is why he's slowly pushing himself towards doing something. And listen, it's all of the Lord if it happens that way. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
All right? But you got to understand the scripture says never trust thine enemy.
Right.
Right? And you have to understand that all these other nations are enemies. It don't matter how nice they are. It don't matter what programs they put in place, what affirmative action. You got something you're going to bring out?
No, I was just going to get that scripture.
Oh, go ahead. Bring it out.
Never trust thine enemy.
Bring it out. Roy!
I just saw something real interesting. But...
Is it about this? Because I moved on to Mexican.
Yeah.
Okay, no. It's a Native American?
No,
well, cue it up for another show.
It, yeah.
Cue it up for another show. We'll do it. We'll do it.
Sirach chapter 12 and verse 10. It says, never trust thine enemy, for like as iron rusteth, so is his wickedness.
It's letting you know, right? It's a certainty that iron will rust.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem with pure iron in and of itself, right? It will rust, right? Maybe people today wouldn't understand that, right? And that day you could, because, right, iron weapons and all that stuff. You have a cast iron pan, and if you don't care for it properly, it will surely rust. So it's telling you that's a certainty.
Never trust thine enemy.
Never. It don't matter what's being brought out, right? There's another scripture that says a gift destroyeth the heart.
Mm-hmm.
You get some affirmative action. You get a little recognition.
Right.
You put up one of our people on the Supreme Court. Put one in Congress, put one in the presidential office, and you go to sleep. What does the scripture say?
Never trust thine enemy.
Never trust thine enemy. You are not secure. Go ahead.
For like as iron rusteth, so is his wickedness.
That is his wickedness. It will come out. These were so-called citizens. Citizens.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that's BS too, because Bishop has brought that out. It's actually denizens.
Right. Yep.
If you really want to think about it. You got more?
Yeah, verse 11. Though he humble himself and go crouching, yet take good heed and beware of him.
It says, though he humble himself and go crouching, though he may take that supremacist attitude,
mm-hmm.
that white privileged attitude, and dumb that down and dull that down, though he may come and say, I feel your pain, black brother,
yep.
I feel your pain, Spanish brother, Latin brother, I'm with you there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to march in your rally. It says what? Though he humble himself?
Yet take good heed and beware of him.
Yet take good heed and beware of him. Don't let that stuff fool you.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all voting and trusting and all this stuff. Because that's the thing that matters me the most. I expect Esau to say what they be saying about our people.
Mm-hmm.
But when I see our own people, I don't understand how anybody that's Jake could be for Trump. As far as in the carnal sense that they are.
Right.
Because I'm
right.
for Trump. Because God's for Trump.
Right.
Because
right.
God allowed Trump to be in office.
They're for
right.
Trump
right.
because they have not bethinked themselves.
Yeah.
They
right.
don't know who they are.
Right, right.
And
well,
they hate their people.
And that's why you're going to continue to catch hell, and the heat's going to have to get turned up until this stuff is brought to light. Do not think for one moment that what is happening to our brothers and sisters at the border, this whole thing that's done, it isn't relevant and pertinent to you.
Mm-hmm.
As we sit here being nervous by the breast of Babylon, all right, the Most High don't move things without it having repercussions.
That's right.
All right. And whether they're for the positive or the negative or whatever, it's all towards that end. All right. So it says even legal permanent residents and U.S. citizens, major companies including Ford, U.S. Steel, and the Southern Pacific Railroad colluded with the government by telling Mexicans they would be better off with their own people, laying off thousands. Hmm. So I guess I ain't buying a Ford anymore.
Right.
Man, they all down with it, bro.
Right.
That's why the scripture tell you one of all things, man. You can't escape that. Don't let that be an excuse to not try to put things in place for your people. But in some way, shape, or form, in one of all things, you're going to have to do something, right? So it says major companies, including Ford, U.S. Steel, and the Southern Pacific Railroad, colluded with the government. And it told Mexicans they were better off with their own people and laid off thousands. The Hoover administration began reimbursing localities for enacting this program. So they incentivized them.
Mm-hmm.
Los Angeles authorities had planned to raid La Placita as a scare tactic to motivate the population to return to their motherland. So look at a crafty council. They said, we want to put some fear in them so that some of them will leave on their own. Even though many of them were born in the United States, The Los Angeles City Council sent memos to the county's Board of Supervisors advising it to stop the illegal deportations. The board got tired of the memos and wrote back to the city council, this isn't about constitutional validity. It's about the color of their skin.
Hmm.
Let me read that again slowly because maybe some of our listeners, that might have gone over your head. It says the Los Angeles City Council, I'm talking about the 1930s here, folks, all right? This is some modern times. The Los Angeles City Council sent memos to the county's Board of Supervisors advising it to stop the illegal deportations.
That was in what, 1931?
1931.
It was in 1847 that Mexico was no longer, or California was no longer even a part of Mexico. So less than 100 years before that, California was Mexico.
It was annexed.
Yeah.
And that's another term to say stolen.
Right, exactly. But I'm saying all those people that were in that plaza were that was their land.
Yes. 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 And listen, you know I got my Lamentations open. You know what comes to Northern Kingdom? I got rock with Lamentations.
Right.
I got a little Hosea there. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to read some of this stuff and then we got to jump into that. You know, a little sprinkle here, you know? Here a little, there a little.
Salt Bay. Okay.
So it says the city council actually sent memos to the board's county supervisors telling them they needed to stop, that these were illegal deportations. It says the board got tired of the memos and wrote back and said, this isn't about constitutional validity. They said, the hell with your constitution.
Right.
It's about the color of their skin. He says he has boxes of documents detailing such events. So you sit here under the prep. Do not be fooled, brothers and sisters. The laws are not written for you because it happened before and it could happen again.
Mm-hmm.
It's happened. You see it in isolated individual instance. What's unique about this is that this happened as a people, what I'm reading to you now, but you see it in individual instances with the killings of the so-called blacks and Hispanics at the hands of certain police and these laws not applying to them. People say, we got the Constitution to protect us.
Wrong.
If there's enough collusion, ain't nobody gonna protect you.
That's right.
Except the Most High. It says fear swept Mexican communities nationwide throughout the early 1930s as local law enforcement rounded up people in parks, hospitals, markets, and social clubs.
Bro, hospitals?
Can you imagine?
That is wicked as hell.
Crammed them onto chartered trains and deposited them across the border. You want to talk about being, what do they say, with Amalek and the trains and it being...
Right.
Listen, this is modern times. They're doing the same thing. It says, around the country, Mexicans were scapegoated for the bad economy and became victims of cruel dilemmas, said Francisco Valderrama, professor emeritus of history at Chicano Studies at California State University at Los Angeles and co-author of Decade of Betrayal, Mexican Repatriation in the 1930s. That's a good book. That's a book to read. Write it down.
What was it called?
Mexican Decade of Betrayal, Mexican Repatriation in the 1930s. Send that to me. Text it to me. I'm going to see if I find a book. I'm going to order it. A book based on Decade of Betrayal, Mexican Repatriation in the 1930s. Maybe we could revisit this in more detail without articles and actually jump into this book a little bit. All right. You found it? Decade of Betrayal? Mexican Repatriation.
Well, I'm making a note of it first.
All right, good. A book based on oral histories and archival research. In addition to claiming that Mexican deportations would create more jobs, officials also said that Mexicans were overwhelming welfare offices and draining charities set up for the needy during a time of economic calamity. Different time, same story. It's the same thing you hear today. Yet during the early years of the Depression, Mexicans compromised less than 10% of the relief recipients across the country, according to Decade of Betrayal. Hoover's approach is echoed in the Trump's administration immigration policies. There's no question in the minds of many that Trump's zero-tolerance policy and increased ICE raids has strains of what occurred to Mexicans in the 1930s.
Oh, I got the PDF online.
Okay. But
$30 on Amazon.
Okay. But the difference between the two presidents' approaches to deportations lies in Hoover's use of the term repatriation. So this is why the show is titled The Star of Repatriation, because of the connotations of the word. You got to see the craftiness in this. All right. Get me that one where it says words are smoother than butter. Is that song?
Psalms 50 or 55.
Get me that real quick.
The book of Psalms 55, verse 20. He has put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He had broken his covenant.
Right. So he broke his covenant. You have the U.S. Constitution, with the country supposed to be founded on. You're born here as a citizen. There's laws in place that you can get permanent residency status. All right. I'm not talking about illegal. Somebody would listen to this and say, oh, illegal should go. These were legal people.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah, there were some illegals with them. These were legal people. All right. And it says that he broke those covenants. Go ahead, read.
Verse 21, the words of his mouth were smoother than butter.
And we're going to get into that. All right. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter. Go ahead.
But war was in his heart.
But war was in his heart. War is in his heart all the time. Is that it on that?
His words were softer than oil, mm-hmm. yet they were drawn swords.
And that's how it is. That's why the scripture says, never trust thine enemy.
Mm-hmm.
It says, though he humble himself, be wary. You must be aware. So it says the difference between what Trump is saying, right, which is kind of worse because Trump is just blatantly telling you to the face. Hoover used the term repatriation. The word suggests a voluntary return to your birthplace.
Damn.
Well, we read the definition, right? And it sounds really nice. And this is why I said you got to remember the definition says that the term especially applies when you're a prisoner of war or refugee.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And that's what we are.
Right.
That's what we are in these times. All right. That's why it's so important. The term is so appropriate, but understand that it's what's on display is this characteristic of that smoothness, that covenant breaker and that smoothness, that softer than oil. Repatriation doesn't sound so bad.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't sound so bad. I'm going to give you a worse term for it. It's ethnic cleansing.
There it is.
Okay. Which falls under eugenics. It's ethnic cleansing. Repatriation, these deportations that are targeted, is ethnic cleansing. You only hear terms like that when you deal with warlords in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's ethnic cleansing that happened in the 1930s in this country. And the same vibration and the same things are being enacted today. How do you send armed troops with rifles using these warlike terms, which I'll stop for a second after I read this because I'm going to play the clip. You'll hear the audio of Geraldo Rivera. And he went off on Fox News, man. I don't know if he's going to keep his job for too long after that.
Mm.
I think the oppression is finally driving him a little mad, yeah, bro.
He's married to Amalek, too.
You know, someone made a point, though, and they pointed that, you know, he don't get that hot when it comes to, like, you know, a so-called African-American or whatever. Like, he'll jump on the bandwagon with the Republicans. But you got to understand that he's a sellout anyway when it comes to that.
Hard body, too.
It was really, if you think about it, it was Filthy Lucre that made him change his heart because mm-hmm. he was down with the young lords.
He was a lawyer for them, yep.
He was all pro for them at one time.
Yeah.
And the gift destroyeth the heart. And they said, hey, we're going to make you, we're going to give you a show. Right. We're going to make you famous. I always remember him growing up as always getting beat up because he was in the thick of stuff.
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? That's how he cut his teeth in journalism.
And I read an article that I think Trump authorized lethal force.
Yes.
Against it. I read an article that said, the gloves are off now.
Yes.
He said that, bro, the tear gas, people talk about the tear gas that they use. Okay. These are unarmed economic refugees fleeing terrible conditions in Honduras, Venezuela.
Right.
We did a show on Venezuela and what's going on there, that, that people that are doctors and lawyers, some of them are prostituting themselves to make ends meet because they can't make money in such a prestigious profession.
And then we saw the video of the so-called Mexicans telling them to go back home.
Remind me to do the Geraldo thing after this piece. So it says, Hoover used the term repatriation. The word suggests a voluntary return to your birthplace. And Mexican repatriation was viewed as a humanitarian gesture by the administration and the public. In my investigation, I found that what was called repatriation was actually a cover-up and a case of unconstitutional deportation because the majority of Mexicans who were deported were born and raised in the United States. Dunn's research shows that about 1.8 million Mexicans were deported during the 1930s. 1.8 million. Of that number, about 60% were U.S. citizens.
That's pretty much like all of Phoenix just leaving. That's crazy. 1.8 million.
And 60% were U.S. citizens. They were citizens and deported. How are you included in that?
Right.
These laws aren't for you. You got something?
No.
So let me cue up this Geraldo piece here. All right. Let's see. I had saved it on my Facebook, so let me do it here.
This is like new?
It's recent, I believe.
Yeah.
It's very recent.
Well, it has to be, I mean, if it's regarding the
It's very recent. Because see, this is where I'm frustrated, and I say we got to update the show. We got to upgrade the show because I want to be able to show it. I know when I was in L.A., we were able to show it. So I'm going to have to get Zeph out here from L.A. maybe and just kind of price some stuff out for us because I really want to start getting more visual and bringing things out, especially if we're going into, like, history, right, showing the articles and all that stuff like that for people. So, all right. So I'm going to have to – let me sign out of this. Somebody talk while I do this.
So it's getting to the point – again, and there's things that they're not even showing on the news. Okay, regarding that caravan and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But again, I touched on it a few minutes ago. They even have convinced, okay, their own people, Mexicans, who are from the tribe of Issachar, the people that are coming here are from the tribe of Zebulun.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they even have convinced them, and I've seen them on a video that Captain Yan posted, them telling them to go back home.
That's crazy.
You're dealing with the same thing.
That is crazy.
You're dealing with poverty and gangs and everything, and the same thing that they're trying to flee from.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but more importantly, you have not bethought yourself.
Right.
Is the issue because they're speaking out of ignorance?
Mm-hmm.
Is what it is. That's total ignorance. That's the devices of the crafty have gotten to them.
Right. Right. So let me play this. I pray the audio comes through okay. I'll try to put the mic down a little bit. I apologize. We're a low budget show.
I'm gonna try to step it up, man.
It's a struggle out there. And then you got
the
people.
Struggle's real.
And then people say, "Well, why do you fundraise? What do you need money for?"
Yeah, if we
teach the truth.
That's a whole other thing, right?
But those are the same people. Be like, "Well, the sound ain't good. The show is choppy."
Right. Even PBS is public broadcasting. Right? Channel PBS, man. Even they need funds.
They need funds, too. They do that fundraiser at the end of the year.
Yeah.
They'll be doing
it.
The end of the year, they'll show a show.
The operators are standing by now. You'll see them in the back.
Yep.
They need money. You need money. Money's at the fence.
Okay, so this was on Fox News, and this was right after they fired the tear gas to stop the migrants from breaching the border. Right? Okay.
He's on location?
You already said. He said, "I'm going to fill my role as the designated piñata." Because
he knows he's going to get backlash.
No, and not just that. That means he does, despite him. You know what I'm saying? But I'm reading between the lines of him. I have hope for him. All right. At one time, he saw the light.
Did Captain Abia give him a flyer as well?
No.
Nah.
Oh, okay.
All right. He says that he's the designated piñata there. Means he knows that he's not treated equally with
that's
them
right,
there.
Right.
Despite everything he's done. I think he's done, bro. He's frustrated. Maybe when we bring out the gray hairs on his head, like we're reading Hosea, maybe now that he, because I'm looking at him here, he has some gray hairs, maybe he's starting to get some sense. Because in his youth he did. When he was a lawyer for the young lords, he did. You heard the other guy? He said, that's racist. Because he said that he's the designated piñata. Because he spoke the truth about how he's treated there.
Right.
He said, that's racist. And he didn't say that to say it like he really meant it's racist. That's their counter to when we say what they say is racist.
Yep.
Eat because what they say is always racist.
Right.
That part resonated with me because, right, you know that's what they call us.
Yep.
Yeah, right. We've gone over that at different times that we're that walking dead, right? That's the valley of dry bones until these commandments are breathed up into you. We're that walking dead. It says they would not suffer our bodies to be buried.
Mm-hmm.
We're that walking dead. Maybe he did. Maybe he has been watching.
Right. I don't know. We'll see.
I think we arrested 42 people, 8 of them were women, with children. We have to deal with this problem humanely and with compassion. These are not invaders. Stop using these military analogies. This is absolutely painful to watch. We are a nation of immigrants. These are desperate people. They walk 2,000 miles. Why? Because they want to rape your daughter or steal your lunch? No.
Think about the motivation. Nobody's thinking about that.
Right.
What they've left behind on foot in freaking chancletas,
right,
or who knows what else, 2,000 miles, humid, hot.
I can't even picture that.
No money.
Right. I like the Issachar let them pass.
Yeah. They did it that right. They dealt with it humanely. Yeah. Right? Now, they did deport some, but whatever. There was some violent ones. Oh, and then I'm reading in the news that there was an MS-13 gangbanger that they arrested that he was in there. And,
okay, listen. Are they in it? Maybe. But so what?
Don't come and try to say that that's why
that's
you're doing
everybody.
It.
That, so everybody that's coming here is MS-13. Are you serious? Come on. Go ahead.
It's like what about jobs? Well, like what about the millions of unfilled jobs we have in the agricultural sector? They want to wash dishes in the restaurants. They want to deliver the pizzas. For goodness sake, I can't suspend our humanity when it comes to this issue.
I tell you, I get choked up. I'm thinking about it. He's getting me mad, bro. Like, I wish I would have seen more. I would like to find a full clip.
I'm sure it's on there.
It was titled Geraldo Rivera Gets It. Maybe he does. Maybe he finally does. Captain Amaziah has shared it. And,
he made such a valid point. He said they're coming to do all the jobs that no one else wants to fulfill.
Millions of jobs.
Right. Yeah. He said, wash the dishes in restaurants and
deliver
that.
The pizzas
right.
and work in the farms.
Right.
None of us here want to do that.
No,
but these people are walking to go ahead and do hard. That's hard labor
right.
work, man.
Hard
labor. I've done it. It's hard labor work.
Anyway, let me stop for a second, man, because y'all got to realize kind of what's going on here. First, let me get Lamentations 4:17, right? I mean, you know, I like bringing this stuff out. Especially when it pertains to Northern Kingdom, those that are asleep. I mean, we have to stop. I think this especially hits home here, and I think anybody would be hard pressed to say that I'm reaching after reading what we're reading. That 60% of the 1.8 million, all right, were actual U.S. citizens.
That's crazy.
Like, do you understand that mentality?
60.
I'm going to tell you something. That's like you or I today, all right? Hey, I was born here, so.
Mm-hmm.
I fought for my country here, so.
Hey, there's been cases where that people have fought for their country, they deported them.
Exactly.
Fought for America.
I served in the military here.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all did.
Right, there's probably people that fought in World War One that was at that part.
Well, that's the other thing that Leguizamo talks about too, and I'm going to bring a little bit more
fought,
about that.
Yeah, that we fought.
I
want to
bring more out
wars.
About that too. We fought in every war.
No.
Civil War.
That particular deportation.
Oh,
came
hey,
in
of course.
Northern Kingdom fought in the Civil War.
He said we actually the only ones that have fought in every war that this country has had.
The Northern Kingdom he's talking about.
Documented.
He said, bro, like, you know, he was pleading a little bit that American BS because he was like, you know, we spill blood in every war for this country. What makes us less American than you?
Right, because he was still spinning back to being, spinning back to being accepted.
Well, that's what happens when you're married to Esau. Mm-hmm. When you're married to any of the other nations. I mean, you read that throughout the scriptures. Why did I tell you that you had to leave them wives when you read in Nehemiah? Right? Why does it tell you? Because you know, you have to go ahead and they're gonna take you to other things. That's right. What happened with Solomon. Them wives of other nations drove him crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So they send you astray. They're going to make you worship other gods, speak strange tongues, do different things. Right? Go ahead, read this. Lamentations 4:17.
The book of Lamentations 4, verse 17. As for us, our eyes have yet failed for our vain help.
It says our eyes have yet failed for our vain help. Go ahead.
In our watching, we have watched for a nation that could not save us.
It says in our watching, we have watched for a nation that cannot save us. Save us. Mm. Rather, they want to get rid of you. They want to deport you. They want to. They want nothing to do with you. They don't care that you want to go ahead and have some of them jobs. They don't want you here. Get me Hosea 7 and 8. Hosea 7 and 8. Go ahead, read
the book of Hosea 7 verse 8. Ephraim have mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned.
This has so many levels to it historically. Mm-hmm. All right, it's physically, right? Which we'll read in a second. Okay, by mixing with them and having children with them, it's also in their philosophies, their ideologies, and trying to blend in and say I'm this, I'm that. Well, you and me, like we're talking about, we'd be like, yeah, we're Spaniard. We're not Puerto Rican. We're Spaniard. We just, you know, our family lived in Puerto Rico, but we're Spaniards.
We're a Spaniard by way of Puerto Rico.
Yeah, right, exactly. It says, Ephraim have mixed himself among the people. He is a cake not turned, meaning what? Because of that physical mixing, okay, you're going to have different ranges, different shades, different complexions. You see that, right? Captain Abiel, Ephraim, mm-hmm. right? Me, Ephraim, opposite ends of the spectrum, even in size. Not just complexion. I used to say he's a one and I'm a comma when we walk together. All right. Go ahead. Read on.
Verse 9. Strangers have devoured his strength and he knowed it not.
You're here. You're like, hey, I'm a U.S. citizen. I'm good now.
Mm-hmm.
It says strangers have devoured your strength and you know it not. And there you go. You get deported. All right. Geraldo thinking that listen, if I do enough, if I talk enough like them, mm-hmm. you listen to what he said just now. He said, I'm going to fulfill my role as the designated pinata at Fox News.
Marrying the other nations.
Right.
You have, what was I saying again? Strangers have what?
Devoured your strength.
Yeah, even marrying the other nations.
You dilute strength. Your seed.
Dilute your seed.
Right? Go ahead, read.
Yea, gray hairs are here and there upon him, yet he knoweth not.
Yet he knoweth it not. Yeah, he knoweth it not. Give me 1 Ezra 8 and 70. When we say he have mixed himself among the people, right? Because some people try to say that's not what that scripture is pertaining to. That's not what is breaking down. All right? Go ahead. Read this.
Man, I would really love to hear the whole audio of that.
I know. We should.
I guarantee you.
You know, I had to prepare the pre-class, mm-hmm. so I didn't spend too much more time researching the show.
He said, I'm going to fulfill my role as the designated pinata. And the guy said, that's racist.
That's racist. Racist. First Ezra 8 and 70.
The book of First Ezra, chapter 8, verse 70. For both they and their sons have married with their daughters.
This is where it says Ephraim has mixed himself among the people. Both they and their sons have married with their daughters. This was our tendency. This is what we did. Go ahead.
And the holy seed is mixed with the strange people of the land.
The holy seed is mixed. This is why you said what Catherine Parham was saying. Marrying them, all right, messes you up. You take a holy seed,
mm-hmm.
you take the seed of the Son of God. And you let it lie with the daughters of men. All right, go ahead, read.
And from the beginning of this matter, the rulers and the great men have been partakers of this iniquity.
So it's telling you that was always a thing that Israel would do. Not just Northern Kingdom, right? All of us were prone to do that.
Mm-hmm.
We desired the other nations, okay? But don't come here and say that Hosea 7 and 8 and 9 is being broken down wrong. All right? Because that's what the scripture says.
I mean, that's the same thing today.
Right.
Right. You hear black men say, oh, I don't date black women. Right.
But you'll never hear nothing from like a, an Asian person saying that. You've never heard a Chinese person say, "Oh, I don't date Chinese women." That you'll never hear that.
No, they're actually, it's actually very rare that they date outside of their race.
But you only hear that from our people, blacks and Hispanics. Oh, I don't date my people because of whatever negative connotation that
it goes back to them not be thinking themselves and hating themselves because of the devices of the crappy.
Right, right, right. Okay, so let me go ahead and continue on with this article here, right? So it says, Elena Herrada, an activist who has compiled oral histories of Mexicans who were deported, said her father was a toddler when he and his family were forced to go to Mexico in 1930. Herrada's aunt said the trip to Mexico was dangerous. Everybody knew Mexicans were leaving, so robberies on the roads were common. Mm-hmm. As was the case for many Mexicans who were coerced into leaving, the government gave the Herrada family provisions of food for 3 days. But the trip took 30 days because they couldn't drive at night. They would hide their car, which was loaded with possessions, after sunset to avoid being robbed. For children, most of whom were born in the United States, the trip and relocation to Mexico was especially traumatizing, leaving the only country they'd known to go to an unfamiliar, rural, and poor place where no one spoke English left a mark on Christine Valencia's mother, Emilia Castañeda. Valencia, Associated Professor Emeritus at California State University at Fullerton, said her mother wasn't used to not having indoor plumbing, was ostracized at school in Mexico for not speaking Spanish, and suffered from a lack of medical and dental care. So it's like, you know, she was not Spanish enough for them, but not white enough for them here.
And you know what, Kurt, real quick? The other irony and the thing that really angers me also is that our own people are robbing each other. They have to, not only do they have to worry about Esau, but they had to worry about their own people in their travels.
I mean, again, that's a whole other topic too, right?
Right.
Because
right.
We're more the problem than
Esau. We're more the problem than
Esau. Esau's
sure.
doing what they need to do.
Right.
If we do what we need to do, all this goes away.
Right.
Right.
And we wake up like it was a dream, right. like a bad dream, like the scripture tells
you're right.
you.
You're right.
So it's really, I mean, what's required is very simple to understand and do. The challenge is that we're carnal, we're sinful.
That's mm-hmm. the simplicity that we have in Christ.
That's the simplicity in Christ. You're right. You're in the spirit. That's the simplicity. The simplicity in Christ is not complicated.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We make it complicated.
We make it
with
complicated.
Emotions and yeah. with our lust and our
pride
desires.
And all of that. Yep.
Yes. Yes. Because if we just got it together and do what we need to do and be convicted in that and do that with gladness of heart.
Mm-hmm. With gladness of heart.
We'd be all right.
That's why this like whole, I mean, not to go too far, mm-hmm. but that's why this like whole thing, you know, with people up and separating, it's like I get it because for one, it strengthens my faith because the scriptures say that, but second, it's just like damn, like Esau's sitting back, like okay, yeah, we still got these niggas.
Oh yeah, because you know why they understand more than we do. Christ's words when he said a house divided cannot stand.
Yeah, sure,
absolutely,
sure,
it's like, it's
sure,
like.
That's heavy, that scripture, man.
It's like, no, you weren't given some great revelation. All of a sudden, you have this wisdom. Now you're separating yourself.
No,
like,
because it is what it is, right?
Right.
You keep the command, fear God and keep the commandments. It doesn't matter what revelation you got. Nothing should ever change.
Right, right. So she says, my mother never got a proper education. She lived in Mexico for 9 miserable years. Finally, when Emilia turned 17, her godmother found her birth certificate, which was needed to re-enter the United States, and sent her money to return. Emilia had always considered Los Angeles her home and was anxious to go back, but she wasn't able to resume her schooling because her English had faded over the years.
Mm.
With so many Mexicans and Mexican-Americans forced to leave the country, there were no voices at the time protesting this mass removal. Trade unions and other groups were all in favor of saving jobs for whites in the United States. The famous Mexican artist Diego Rivera was in the United States painting his Detroit industry frescoes during the early 1930s, helped raise money for deportees, and worked to obtain humane treatment for compatriots from welfare authorities. But like many, he was sold on the idea that repatriation was a positive action instead of a violent disruption with lifelong effects. At least today, we can say things have gotten better in terms of opposition to immigration policies. There we are, getting lulled to sleep again.
Mm-hmm.
But I can see us slipping down the same path with Trump's approach. The deportations continued well into the 1930s, even after Democrat Franklin Delano Roosevelt mm-hmm. took office in January 1933. Roosevelt never officially revoked the American Jobs for Real American campaigns, but by 1933 it was being carried out solely by local governments that acted on their own, and his administration did nothing to stop them. It just faded away by the end of the 1930s, and then World War II brought jobs back, so the scapegoating of Mexicans eased up. In 2005, Dunn put forward legislation in the California State House to apologize for the government's treatment of Mexicans during the Depression. We don't want your damn apology. Wow. I didn't even see that part. I haven't read this far down. Apologize? That's it? Oops. My bad.
Right.
Get out of here. They actually made an act called the Apology Act. The Apology Act became official on January 1st, 2006. Your words mean nothing. We just read that in Psalms.
So what came with this Apology Act?
Expressing regret for the illegal deportations. The law also included installing a memorial where the raid on La Placita took place in Los Angeles.
And then everybody went to sleep.
So here you guys. Here's some rum chata and a Latin-flavored themed coffee at Starbucks.
You know what? I mean... That sounds like a good combination. I know ram chata and the coffee is pretty good, bro, and I haven't had it in a while. See, now you got me. See? Even I can be. I'm good with it. Apology Act. In 2013, California also passed a law requiring that this lost history be taught in the state's public school. Okay, I'll give them that. They passed a law, California only, and they're going to teach it. It'll probably have, like, you know, like when you go to the history book and there's, like, this section.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but like so what? Much. But so what? And?
And you know what? It says that the words of his mouth are smoother than butter. So you know that even though it's going to be taught, it's going to be dumbed down to...
But check it out. Wait. You're right. He says, Dunn says the Apology Act was mostly symbolic.
Damn.
But it's still something. No one can say it never happened.
Yeah, I'll take the crumbs. Basically, what he's saying is, I'll take the crumbs.
Hell?
You know what? I've accepted that I'm never gonna be accepted,
mm-hmm.
and it's something. And this is why our people continue to fall asleep, and why we continue to hate ourselves, and why we continue to marry them. Because we say, you know what? We can't. If they're not gonna, we're gonna go ahead and fight ourselves. You know, mm-hmm. and fight for ourselves.
All right, so let me read about the Mexican repatriation a little bit, right? So the Mexican repatriation was a mass deportation of Mexicans and Mexican-Americans from the United States between 1929 and 1936. Estimates of how many were repatriated range from 400,000 to 2 million. Now, mind you, they say Mexican, but we understand that there were others that were here from Central and South America, all right? Mm-hmm, right. Just to them, we're all Mexican,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right?
At least, you know, anything off the East Coast.
Anything off the Northeast.
Yeah, right? Because, like...
Yeah.
Because if it's southeast, you're Cuban.
Yeah.
If it's northeast, you're Puerto Rican or Dominican. And anywhere else, you're Mexican.
Well, Dominican now.
Well,
it was
Puerto Rican, yeah.
You were either white, Puerto Rican, or black in New York.
Right.
That's it. Everybody claimed to be Puerto Rican if they were another.
Like, even if you were Elam, you were white, Puerto Rican, or black.
My best friend from fifth grade all the way up to senior year before he moved, he was Puerto Rican. Right, and I remember I asked him, we were like in fifth grade. He's like, "Oh yeah, Puerto Rican." I was like, "Mexican?" I was confused because
it was like that for me in the Air Force,
in the Marine Corps too.
They were like, "What's a Puerto Rican?"
They thought I was Mexican.
They thought I was Mexican. Disrespectful bastards. They're calling me Beaner and all that shit.
Yeah, Issa was like, "What's a Puerto Rican?"
But there was two black guys, one Mexican and one Puerto Rican, who was me,
right.
And everybody else was Middle American. Redneck.
Sounds like that group.
Esau.
Two Puerto Ricans, a black man, and a Dominican. Yeah, I don't know about that.
Bro, they used to ride the shit out of me, man. I was so mad. And it's basic, though, so you know you're not doing nothing because you're not trying to get held back.
Right.
You know, I would have snuffed them out, and then I would have had to. I would have had to be recycled.
Right.
Shit, maybe back to 0 week. I don't know, but anyway, I wasn't trying to do
shit,
that.
The head all over.
Oh goodness. So it says the Mexican was a mass deportation of Mexicans and Mexican Americans from the United States between 1929 and 1936. Estimates of how many were repatriated range from 400,000 to 2 million. An estimated 60% of those deported were birthright citizens of the United
Damn.
States.
So they broke the law.
Mm-hmm.
Because, right, their whole thing now is, right, oh, well, they're not citizens. Okay, so what about then? You just went ahead and broke your own law. You moved people out that were citizens.
Bro, that means out of 2 million, roughly 1.3 million and something were U.S. citizens.
That's crazy.
Bro. And isn't that the argument now? Oh, well, it's Trump's words, right? They accepted. They got to come in legally. These were legal.
Because the forced movement was based on race and ignored citizenship, the process arguably meets modern legal definitions of ethnic cleansing. No, it does. Not arguably. It does. Because
mm-hmm.
ethnic cleansing is the systematic forced removal of ethnic or racial groups from a given territory by a more powerful ethnic group, often with the intent of making it ethnically homogenous. The forces applied may be various forms of forced migration, intimidation, as well as genocide and genocidal rape. And it's crazy because, again, they like to use nicer words for these things, but repatriation, deportation, gentrification is ethnic cleansing because it happens, again, there's levels to everything. So they do it in your neighborhoods. They're doing it to the South Bronx, right, where we grew up.
They did it to Washington Heights.
They did it to Washington Heights. And what they've done is they use different tactics.
Mm-hmm.
But what's the end goal? It's a systematic forced removal. And the goal is, it says, so they could be ethnically homogenous, meaning they only want them. That's what Richard Spencer says.
Right, right.
He says, yeah, y'all can have what you want to have. I think it's beautiful. Just have that by yourselves.
I was just watching him yesterday.
And guess what? And I'm sorry, man. Good. And we did. Until the demon Christopher Columbus
came
here.
Well, we did.
We were harmonious. We were fine.
Yeah. No. Not just that. We even tried to do it here.
Mm-hmm.
The South Bronx used to be known as Little Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. But that wasn't enough. They wanted that too.
What do they call them now?
Yeah.
Sobro?
No.
Sobro.
Hey, and now all the Edomites who couldn't afford Manhattan anymore, mm-hmm. now because it's right over the bridge. Just not even a mile. It's like maybe 6 blocks, if you would.
Waterfront property?
Waterfront property.
Hmm. No, and we had that here. It was called Black Wall Street.
Bro, we're seeing it in El Barrio. When we were in the camp over there, bro.
Yeah, that's not El Barrio anymore. That's not the Barrio I remember growing up in.
The gentrification, and I'm telling you, what's going to happen is all the Puerto Ricans, right, are going to die off over there, right? All the Ephraimites are going to die off. And, I mean, they walk so boldly, these other nations, through these neighborhoods that, Lord forbid, you went to freaking, I don't know, somewhere in freaking Iowa and walked down a street over there. The heads would turn.
No, that's it. You're lost, boy.
Hey, I got to tell you something. I felt like that in Oklahoma. Where the hell was it? Is it Kent? Where was I? Is that what it's called? I can't remember. Because it wasn't Oklahoma City. It was right next to it. But even my daughter was like, yo, there's a lot of Esau here, Daddy. Mm. And there's a lot of Esau in Phoenix.
Heck, I feel like that here sometimes.
No. It's not like over there. Bro, for my six-year-old daughter to notice it, and mind you, she goes to school. Like, so that's what I'm saying. Like, there's always some place where it's worse. Damn, I forgot the city, it's like right next to Oklahoma City. It starts with a K. It's not Edmond. It starts with a K, I think.
I'm gonna find it right now.
Look it up.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think it starts with a K. I could be wrong. All I know is I tried to forget that place. Not Oklahoma, not the brother. I'm on record saying Tabernacles is great. I'm just saying the town was freaking creepy, bro. I felt like I was up in Get Out, in that little town that they got up there.
Hey, you go to some places in North Carolina. When I was driving the trucks, man, me and the other brother that used to drive trucks, we went to a place one time in North Carolina. We were like, man, we better not lose fuel here.
You needed the green book. You shouldn't have went there.
Man, we were lost, and we were like, we better not lose
fuel
here.
You need the green book. For those who don't know what that is, there was actually a book written by so-called blacks to letting you know like what cities and states were actually like no-nos, like where was friendly, where was not. All right.
Yeah,
bro. No.
The green book. Yeah, look it up. It was illustrated
like places that were friendly for the, because that was segregation era, that was Jim Crow era. So it says, widely blamed for exacerbating the overall economic downturn of the Great Depression, Mexicans were further targeted because of the proximity of the Mexican border, the physical distinctiveness of mestizos, and easily identifiable barrios. So while supported by federal government, actual deportations were largely organized and carried out by city and state governments, often with support from local private entities. They call it cessation. Not annexation. There we go. Because this is all plays a part of it. So, see, this is why we got to be able to show these things. We got former Mexican territory in the United States. We got these maps that we can use. And what's funny, man, what's wild is that you want to talk about the impact of this cessation of Mexican territory and the deportations and all this stuff. They have a graphic here. It was dated 2013 of Mexican American population density in the U.S. And guess where it is? Where the Mexican territory used to be. So I mean, if there's any type of thing that shows you, like, you know, this was theirs, you know, and people go back and they say, well, You know, they took some stuff from GAD too, and okay, yeah, whatever. All right, but we're talking about the curses and the application of that and what's going on here in modern times, right? So it says, at the beginning of the Great Depression, there were two primary sources of U.S. residents of Mexican descent: territorial changes after the Mexican-American War and migration. With the U.S. victory in the Mexican-American War, the Gadsden Purchase, and the annexation of the Republic of Texas, much of the present-day states of California, Nevada, Utah, New Mexico, Arizona, and parts of Texas, Colorado, and Wyoming were ceded to the United States. All that was Mexican territory.
That was all Mexican. Wait, how far up are we? Say the states again, please.
It says Texas, much of present-day California, almost all of California.
Okay.
Nevada, Utah.
Utah.
New Mexico, mm-hmm. Arizona, parts of Texas, Colorado, and Wyoming.
Wyoming.
Yep. Was ceded to the United States.
In the show Into the West, they show at the beginning that the Mexico went all the way up to Wyoming. It's almost to the Dakotas. Yeah,
this was their pre-war territory. 80 to 100,000 Mexican citizens lived in this territory and were promised U.S. citizenship under the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo, which ended the Mexican-American War. So they were promised citizenship. Mm. And then...
For what? To move them out again?
Right. And then 50, 60 years later, they were deported. That goes back to what we read in Psalms about their covenants.
They don't keep covenants.
Them. Nope. They don't keep them.
300 treaties they did with the Native Americans and broke every single one of them.
That's crazy.
They don't keep. Oh yeah, the sister says sundown towns. Yep. That you find all that in the Green Book and stuff like that. Yep. Forced sterilization. Oh yeah. Listen, there's so much more. It's just the scope of the time we got allotted on the show just won't allow us to cover it.
Like, yeah, look at the eugenics tree and everything that the brother mentioned is on there.
Listen, there's so much that we could go through. And all of Jake suffered this. All of Israel suffered this. That's why you're reading Daniel. It says nothing has happened to anybody like it's happened to us.
Nothing has happened to any other nation.
Hey, listen, I'm telling you, I got books for days. I could do classes for months on end off of one chapter in a book. I got War Against All Puerto Ricans, and there's segments of that where it talks about the forced sterilization and stuff like that.
The flame of resistance.
And guess what? It happened to Puerto Ricans. It happened to so-called African-Americans. Mm-hmm. All our people, all Israel share those similar fates.
They've used us for experiments just like they use
those similar curses, those similar afflictions.
You know, it's funny because there's a term that Israel uses, the people of the book, right? The people of the book. We are the people of the book. That's there's right. No two ways about it. When you read the Bible and you read it with open eyes, open mind, and in the spirit, you see that there's no other nation that Israel can be but us.
So it says about 3,000 decided to move to Mexican territory. Mexicans who remained in the U.S. were considered U.S. citizens and were counted as white by the U.S. Census until 1930. And that's when they changed. So they were even considering them as white. That goes back to what we read in Hosea.
You know what?
Gray hairs, they've mixed themselves among the people. That's why I said it has levels to it. First and foremost, it talks about what we read in Ezra, physically mm-hmm. giving sons and daughters and marrying to them and having children. But it also means in identifying, because they force you to do that now.
And
they will not count Hispanic, Latino, whatever you want to put, as a race. Mm-hmm. They put it as an ethnicity. And they make a difference between that.
Oh no!
No, and then they'll put W,
and you'll have to put white, black, or something else. Yep. So you can put that your ethnicity is this, but then they want to classify you in a race.
Officer Issachar, he said that on his father's birth certificate, his father was born in what, like the 50s or something like that. That his birth certificate says white Caucasian.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I gotta look at mine and see, because I mean I wasn't born in the 50s; it was 77, but still.
It says Mexican?
No, doesn't say Mexican. I damn sure probably don't say Puerto Rican, I'll tell you that.
Right.
Probably just says Hispanic. Anyway.
Hey, Kai, you were like that what the brother put.
Wish I was Dr. Manhattan. Word,
I know,
right?
I know you're into that.
Hey, brother, you repent and endure? That's the type of spiritual power we got to have, bro. That's some next level stuff. You know, when that thing came out, I was like, yo.
Yeah, I know we were on that thing.
I
right?
said, that's some spiritual power, right? Except we're not
going to
be. Except we're not going to. The Watchmen.
The Watchmen, yeah.
I said, we're not going to be naked, though.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But you're just going to be like, you're just going to put your hand out, be like,
yeah, you talk real smooth. Yo,
and then have almost like a perfect body, like just like eating cheeseburgers.
Talk like
still have a six pack.
Talk like STEM.
Oh, STEM. Oh, yeah. I still got to watch it. I got days on
I
it to watch it.
I control your whole body.
I forgot. This week's been rough. I haven't been able to watch it. Anyway, so it says Mexicans who remained in the U.S. were considered U.S. citizens and counted as white until the U.S. Census until 1930. But a growing influx of immigrants combined with local racism led to the creation of a new category in the census of that year. It doesn't go into it. I would have to look that up. There's more here that I can talk about, you know, the justifications. I really just kind of read the summary on a lot of this stuff. I had way more articles. I'll tell you, 90 minutes goes fast. They got the different mechanisms of repatriation. I mean, if y'all have time, you just look up Mexican repatriation, man, and you'll see a lot of stuff on that. You had subsequent deportations after World War II. Wow. They had an INS program called Operation Wetback.
Wow, really?
Holy shit. Operation Wetback was an immigration law enforcement initiative created by Joseph Swing, the director of the United States Immigration and Naturalization Service. In cooperation with the Mexican government, the program was implemented in May 1954.
No, but they're not racist.
It said they estimated during Operation Wetback, 1 million persons, the majority of whom were Mexican nationalists and illegal immigrants, but some who were also U.S. citizens were deported to Mexico. 1954. 1954.
That's not even a.
Bro, are we not a cursed people, man?
I'm telling you. Just like Kevin said, these scriptures don't fit nobody else on this planet.
No, man. And even when it comes to backbiting and us going at each other.
No, exactly. Scriptures. Being stiff neck and rebellious.
Bro, this is not the end of this. I'm going to have to go into this some more, bro. This ain't the end of this.
Looks like this is where the spirit's leading us, man.
It's been weeks that we've been banging on it, bro. I'm telling you, we gotta do it.
There's so much, man.
I know you got the books, bro. I don't know. You know, I know I'll be leading the show, but if you got something you want to bring out, bro, we could bring it out.
If
I'm on a trip and you know you're here, you know, we'll have you hold it down, bro. Bring the football.
Hey, I'll bring the football.
Bring the football. Bro, there's so much information on this. There's just so much. Bro, there's like one, two, three, four. There's like four articles I didn't get to.
Oh, and I just found some more stuff, but we were on a thing that I told you that.
Anyway, I'll leave that as that. I didn't even really get to jump too deep into the parallels that I wanted to about how deportation is actually a big business for the U.S.
That's right.
And it's been like a thing for them. There was another article that I was going to read on that. I don't know. We'll see. If I find enough on this and it makes enough sense, maybe we'll talk about it next week. Lord's will. Lord's will, life lasts. And we'll see how it goes from there. Good show. Good stuff.
Yeah, man.
Good stuff. As always, help support us. And you can do this by liking and sharing the show. And I don't mean just once. I mean, like, share the episodes that we do. Pass some things around. Mm-hmm. That's how you make things go viral, you know?
Sure. Sister was asking about closed captioning. Those things cost money.
I definitely want to upgrade some stuff. I would love to be able to show you some visuals. Maybe do the show more frequently with that in mind if we're able to. I mean, this is the type of information, man, that once it's in you and you got them spiritual eyes, you don't want to keep it to yourself. You're not going to hold that talent up in a blanket, in a tissue, in a napkin. You want to go ahead and share that thing because it's burning you. Bro, I read this stuff and it frustrates the hell out of me. And the only way that I'm able to deal with it is by educating on it.
And by knowing that if we keep the fear of God and keep the commandments, there's hope. Right? That's what faith
always
is,
hope.
According to Hebrews.
Always
right?
hope. That's right. We're prisoners of hope. Right? Because it is. That's it. So, anyway, that's the show for this week. Again, continue to like, share, support. Thanks for tuning in. And with that, we say shalom.
Shalom. Shalom. Shalom.